I want to speak the next few services on the church, what the church is about, what the Bible says about the church. Of course, the simplest definition of a church is a body of believers in Jesus Christ that have been baptized and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, a called out assembly, if you would. When you read of church in the Bible, the Greek meaning of the word is ecclesia, which means basically an assembly. Or an assembly of born-again believers called out, baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing. That's the local church. And I want to talk about some things about the church and what is the church? How should it be run? What's the Bible tell us about the church? Well, the Bible tells us everything about the church. I took some classes in college years ago with Brother Saxton at Crown about the first century church. And what it was, the first century church. Of course, the church in Acts is a transitional type of thing. The church transitioned from its beginning until when you get later on in the New Testament of the books of the Bible, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and so on. It kind of transitioned as they grew. But I want to talk about some things of the church, and the biggest thing I want to talk about is the doctrine of the church, because we hear a lot about doctrine today, or lack of doctrine. And our Bible text this morning, I'm going to preach a little bit out of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, and then again in Acts chapter 2, and I'll share some more scriptures with you. But that'll be our kind of our opening text, and I want to speak about the church. So look with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We have the qualifications of preachers and deacons there. And then verses 14 through the end of chapter 3, we have Paul's hope to see Timothy again. Timothy was a young man, a young preacher, kind of Paul's child, his student in the faith. And he writes these things about the church, and he's given Timothy instructions on how to set up the organization of the church and what should be done. If you look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." Paul was away as he wrote this letter to Timothy. And he says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness," that is the hidden truth, "that God was manifest in the flesh," or revealed in the flesh, "justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." I want you to notice in verse 15 about the church, the house of God, which is the church of the living God. We serve a living God. Is the pillar and ground of truth. You can underline that if you're in the habit of doing so in your Bibles. The pillar and ground of truth. So if someone ever asked you the question, a good answer to that question, what is the church? You would say, the pillar and ground of truth. That sounds powerful. When I think of a pillar, I think of a big, round pillar that holds up the great buildings, and you see them. A pillar and ground of truth. It's the place we go to hear the truth of God's Word. That is a wonderful definition of the church. Now pray with me, please, as we ask God to bless us. Father, we love You and thank You. I thank You for the great singing that we enjoy, the hymns of the faith. I thank You for those that are here this day. Lord, I pray You bless us. Lord, I pray You be with Miss Sue as she's grieving the loss of Jim. Be with her and her family. Be with Brother Parrish, Lord, and Miss Helen. Lord, she told me yesterday that she's ready to go to heaven and desires to see You soon, Lord. We pray for her. Pray for Brother Parrish. Others, Lord, that are sick and not here, Lord, we lift them up to You. Children are not feeling good. Families that are out. And Lord, I pray now that You help me to be a blessing to those that are here this day. Lord, we're few in number, Lord, but we're two or more gathered together, Lord. We know that You're here in the midst. And Lord, I pray You just bless us and touch us and meet every need, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to speak on the doctrine of the church, first of all, a little bit as we get into these messages. And I want to start off by saying that it's not our work to build the church. What do you mean by that? Don't we go soul winning? Yes, we do. It's our work to go and share our faith. But it's not our work to build the church, though I believe that there are some men out there who were sent to destroy the church, and they make it their life to do. But I do not believe that men build churches. I believe that the Lord builds the church. It's our duty now. It's our work to obey the Lord. Amen? It's our work to obey the Lord, and it's the Lord's work to give the increase. Our work is entirely, as members, born-again believers, our work is entirely a work of obedience. You with me? Amen. Our work is a work of obedience. We need to know the Bible. We need to obey what God has told us to do. Very simple. That's growing in grace, is basically learning what God wants you to do and doing it. That's how you grow in any facet of life. And that's our job to do. And we are able to do that. On the other hand, it's God's job to grow the church as we follow Him. He grows, He has the increase. We understand, we need to understand the clear commands of God so that we may be obedient to those commands. Now, with that comes decision. When we understand what God wants us to do, we have a choice to make. Are we going to do it or are we not going to do it? Are we going to be obedient? Or are we not going to be obedient? Same as children. You tell the children the rules, remember? These are the rules. Be in at such and such a time. Don't do this. Don't be. These are the rules. These are the guidelines. When you're out on your own, you had to make the choice whether you're going to do that or not. Many times we don't make the right choices. We're not obedient to the Lord. But that's our job, is to be obedient to Him. Jesus said this, I will build my church. Whose church is it? God's church. People say, well, your church, as I go out into the community, well, your church. I said, no, it's not my church. Well, whose is it? It's God's church. It's God's church. This is God's church. This is not ours. I'm privileged with to be the pastor, the under-shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody has to be the head. And God's ordained that way, qualified pastors and then deacons to serve, servants in the church, and then other areas of service in the church. But it's not my church, it's God's church. God said in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we don't have to kind of hide in our spiritual foxholes and worry about the outside world. God protects His church. We need to be faithful and obedient to what God wants us to do. Sounds so simple, but yet it's so difficult because we don't do what we ought to be doing. Amen? Many times. And so Jesus said, I will build my church. Again, He didn't say, you'll build it. He didn't say, deacons are going to build it. Preachers are going to build it. He says, I will build it. And as we are obedient to Him, He will build it. He says, I'll build my church, and that's the way it is. I desire for our church to become a good, solid, which it is, I believe, a Bible-believing New Testament church. Amen. Period, the end. If someone asks you, what kind of church is Rough River? Pillar and ground of truth. It's a biblical term, and that's what we do. We're a pillar and ground of truth. You can come there, and the pastor will be truthful through God's Word teaching you. Amen? That's my desire to be. And let me say this, there is doctrine involved in that. What's doctrine? We hear so much about doctrine. Well, we don't follow old traditional doctrine. Is just a fancy schmancy. We're teaching. Teaching. What are they teaching over there? What's the doctrine? Now, there's doctrines of our faith. We have the doctrine of the blood of Christ, the virgin birth, and so on and so forth, heaven, hell, salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, by Him and Him alone. And these are things that are doctrines or teachings, and we cannot say that we're not going to have doctrine in our churches because it's just simply not scriptural or unbiblical. It's unbiblical, amen. So my desire for our church, for God's church, the church that we're a part of here, is to be basically a Bible church, a first century church that we have in the Bible. We should do all that we can to do that. And we should strive to meet that goal. It's interesting, in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42, The Word of God says, as Peter spoke and preached and many were saved, he says, "Then they that gladly received the Word were baptized." They heard the preaching. The Spirit of God was all over Peter. After Pentecost, he went out and preached. People heard the preaching. They received the Word of God. They trusted in what Peter was preaching, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And the Bible says they were baptized, and the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. What a revival to see 3,000 saved. That was the first basic church service. 3,000 were saved. Who done that? Peter? No, God did that. God did that. Amen? And the Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." There's that word doctrine. The apostles' teaching. The apostles' doctrine. Well, question, did the apostles make up their own doctrine? Did they have their own church? Of course not. They hung around with the Lord for what, 3 years? And He taught them everything that they needed to know and everything that He wanted them to know and everything that He wanted them to do. Right? But the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles were men chosen of the Lord. God chose the apostles. He could have chose anybody. He chose these men. They were men who were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ. They were men who received their message directly from God. It wasn't hearsay. That was the qualification, by the way, to be an apostle. You had to be with the Lord. The Bible says they preached God's Word and people came to Christ. People heard the truth, received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine or the Lord's doctrine concerning the church. Do you see the progression here? You get saved. You're baptized in obedience to the Lord. You identify with a body of believers. You become a part of the local assembly of a local church. And then what? You continue to grow. Simple enough, isn't it? Well, what's the problem? Well, we go to school to learn, right? We're made to go to school from whatever, kindergarten till whenever, high school, 12 years, 12 grades. And we're expected to learn, right? Well, if we don't go to school, what happens? We don't learn. Amen. Teaching. Doesn't matter how good or how bad the teachers are. If you're not there, you have no chance. Same thing with churches. We're to continually, steadfastly, as a first century church, as a Bible-based church, to continue in the apostles' doctrine, which was the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow. See, that's why their churches grew. Because they were steadily at it. They were there. They continued in the teaching. As you learn in the teaching, you grow. As you grow, you know more about the Lord. As you know more about the Lord, you have something to share. And it continually goes on and goes on, and it never ends. We're dealing with the doctrine of the first century church. Is it possible? The questions arise today, and the questions arise when I was a student at school. Is it possible that after all these centuries have gone by, that we can still have the same doctrine that the first century church had? Do we have the same teaching that this church in Acts had? What's the answer to that? Yes! Yes!
Amen.
Absolutely! You see, the big problem today is when you get away from that realm and say we no longer need that because of phrases such as this, times change. But wait a minute, wait a minute. If times change, but God never changes. And if God never changes, His Word never changes. And so God's Word would always, if God figured that, well, every 100 years I need a new Bible. I need a new word, a new technique, but it's not the way, is it? You see the danger of a lot of this. You see, we need to continue. We need to be ever at it. We can have the doctrine, the teaching of the church that's in the Bible. We're a Bible-believing church. God's Word liveth and abideth forever. It's what He says of Himself, right? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word liveth and abideth forever. The Bible says that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changes. You see, friends, it's men that change. God never changes. The sole authority of our faith and practice is the Bible, the Word of God, right? What does the Bible say about that? When you hear different things and different opinions about things, you know, do you ask yourself, well, it sounds pretty good, and it must be good because of such a great crowd and great money or whatever the case may be. But you know, have you ever asked yourself, what does God's Word say about it? How does that line up with the Bible? What does the Bible say about that? You know, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about this? What's the teaching of the Bible? There are churches that have come to grips with the doctrine of the first century church. They continue throughout the centuries with the body of teaching and doctrine and belief and principle. And when you examine what you believe and teach, the question is this, can you trace every bit of it back to the Bible? Is it Bible believing? Is it Bible based? And that's the key to the church. It's the key to a good church today. A church is not just in size and numbers and finances and buildings. These are all byproducts, I guess, of what God does in whatever area that He's at. As men and as driven, we want the bigger and the best. That's just a natural thing. I don't think that's bad. But again, we need to stick and do things according to the way God wants them done and just realize that it's God who does all that He does do. Think of the seriousness of our responsibility. Again, as we look at the text in 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul says, "But if I tarried long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtst to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." God tells us that we have a great responsibility. As a matter of fact, we're singularly held accountable with this responsibility. What is the responsibility, Brother Dave? The responsibility of being the pillar and ground of truth. We shouldn't have to sugarcoat and hem-haul around. We just need to have a compassion but be truthful. The only thing that you can pass from one generation to the next in God's work is truth, not experience. And that's what we need to do with our young people and our young boys. Dave's teaching young boys class and as I teach the young couples class. I can't pass on experience because you have to obtain your own experience. But we can pass on God's truth, which never changes. And that's where I'm scared to death. What's the next generation? Little kids, our little children, Camden. What's that generation going to grow up to know? Look how much things changed in your generation to what the kids are learning today. I mean, if you stop for a moment, we didn't know anything. I mean, the things that are just openly in your face today, my goodness, we never heard of them till, you know, later in life. But now it's right in these kids' faces. They have everything, every evil, everything thrown upon them. But the thing that they're missing is the truth, the pillar and ground of truth that comes from where? It has to come from the churches. That's how God ordained it to be. And we need that. You see, it's a responsibility to be a member of a local body of believers. You have a distinct responsibility. I tell people all the time, you know, becoming a member of a church is not just joining a club like a bowling league or something. You have a responsibility to God because it's His. Amen? I mean, it's not me. You're not here for me. I mean, you may be here because Brother Dave preaches the Word of God, and you may like my personality, and you know, to know me is to love me, I know. So sometimes. But I mean, you know, it's you know, well, you know what? I can go and hear the truth. You know, our church is a pillar and ground of truth. No matter what, we're going to hear the truth. In our Sunday school, we got a Sunday school teacher that teaches our you know, our 50 and above class. It's going to be truthful. It's going to be Bible. Our young couples are going to hear the Bible. You know, and with love and compassion, our children are going to learn the Bible. They need to understand these things and how to grow up. These young men need to know how to be young, godly men. And that's our responsibility. And, you know, I mean, take this as you will. We can't be hypocritical about it with our lives. Amen? I mean, you know, the qualifications of deacons are outlined in the Bible. And when I have people be Sunday school teachers, you know, you got to be faithful, you got to be giving, you know, you got to set an example. Because our kids need to see an example, because they see more than they'll ever retain in hearing, right? And they need to see that grandmom and grandpa are faithful, dad's faithful, mom's faithful. Not perfect, but faithful. You may not be much, but you can be. Agreed? And why? Why, Pastor? So you have somebody to preach to? No. So that you'll grow in the Lord. How are you going to grow if you don't hear and don't apply and God doesn't speak to you and touch you in areas of your life? You know, what's amazing to me is the example, and we use it all the time, of preaching is that we're to rebuke, exhort, reprove. But it's reprove and rebuke before it's exhort. Amen? And today, oh, everybody wants exhortation, if you would, and they have the wrong definition of exhort, meaning, you know, feel good, you're doing fine, everything's great, just do this and you'll be wealthy and, you know, all this. But before that is reprove and rebuke. That's the call, that's the charge for every preacher since I've known. That's, man, you hear them give that charge. Well, reprove, rebuke, exhort, in season, out of season, don't ever change, stick with the Bible. And let God deal with people's hearts. They'll either run out the door, or they'll run to the altar. And that's not up to you. It's up to Him and the individual that God's dealing with. Amazing as it may seem, that most of the people that run out the door, God's dealing with the most. Because they're trying to run from something they have no idea. You know, how do you run from God? How do you hide from God? Well, let me. Do you think not coming to church, you're hiding from God? I ain't God. I don't want to hear that loudmouth preacher no more. I had enough. Fine. God not dealing with you no more? Amen? Amen. I didn't like my mom getting on me all the time, but you know what? I had to come home sometime. Amen? Oh, yeah, you're big shots. You can leave and not come in there. And, well, I had enough of that, and I'm tired of these giving messages, and I'm tired of all this stuff and what we all... I ain't going. You think you're hiding from God? What do you think God's going to do? Can I tell you something? You're safer here. With me. Because I can relate. Amen. I can say, man, I know how you're feeling. I know exactly how you're feeling. Yeah, I'm with you. Except for your leaving. I ain't with you there. I'm telling you, you're safer in here. I mean, do you not think when you go out that door that God just quits dealing with you? Do you not think when the sermon's over this morning that when you go out that door it's over? It just begins. Amen. And let me tell you something. If you're not obedient in here, when you have the opportunity to get right, you're really going to be under heat out there. Because God is a perfect Father. And He does chastise. You can read about it yourself in Hebrews. God, don't think it's a strange thing when you come under chastisement. God chastised you as sons, whereas all are partakers of. Unfortunately, I just ad-libbed that. Because we all need our whoopings from the Lord. Why? Because God deals with you as sons. The Bible says not as bastards or illegitimate children. In other words, you're either a son of God. God has no illegitimate children. As many as receive Him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. When you believe in Jesus Christ and ask Him to come in your heart and save you, guess what? You're a child of God, and you can run, but you can't hide. So you might as well just get it right in your mind now and listen to what I'm telling you and be where you're supposed to be and stay where you're supposed to be and be faithful to God. That's the truth. These guys did that. This church, 3,000 of them, they continued steadfastly. Listen, they were so excited about getting saved, they met daily. They were so excited about this being saved, they gave everything they had. They were heading towards a communal, like a commune of believers back then, which they straightened out. But listen, they were so on. They got saved. They believed that God worked on them when they saved them. They were every day. The question wasn't, you know, are we having church? Is we need to be there. What do we give? They gave it all. There was no need and no want. And God set guidelines in that. Do you realize as believers in Christ, if we give as God told us to give, churches would never be a want for anything? You say, well, we don't have enough people. And we put in our budget and it's no mystery. We're like $4,200 short of a $50,000 a year budget, which is smaller than most families' budgets. And think of what we're running. You say, well, we don't have enough of this. Do you realize, can I tell you the truth as your pastor and somebody that knows in 30 years of ministry, that if God's people gave as God told them to, there would be no shortage? No, there's no buts, I'm telling you. Believe me when I tell you, I have no reason to lie to you. If everybody tithed in the membership of the body of Christ, there would be no shortfall. Believe me. That takes faith. That's steadfastly. That's believing God. And you see, what happens today is, well, can't preach on that. You start preaching on money, people start squirming and they get upset. Okay, I won't preach on that. So the giving goes down, the churches are short. Something's got to give. Okay. Well, you start preaching on hell to get saved. Well, you can't do that because that may upset somebody, and you know you don't want to do that. And people worried about. I had somebody many years ago who was upset. I was preaching on hell, was upset, gave a testimony, was upset. Somebody walked the aisle and got saved. I guess God dealt with them through that. Well, we can't preach on hell. You know, that get people upset. Can't preach on judgment. Because we shouldn't judge. But yet, Paul tells the preachers to reprove and rebuke. Reprove, correct. Rebuke because you're going in the wrong direction and you need to, don't do that. Well, if we do that, well, we better not do that neither. We don't do this. And you know what? Pretty soon, if you get worldly, what do you really have? Yeah, you may have a lot, you may have a great crowd, but you have an emptiness. Do you have a church like we're reading about? You certainly don't have this first century church. You certainly don't have a Bible church. Yeah, you have a church in the sense of the word that a church means simply an assembly. They assemble to have bingo. They can call them the church of the bingo if they want. But that's not what God wants. That's not God's church. You with me? Everything has to be done in order. Everything needs to be done. There's a responsibility that we have to reaching others. And the responsibility I want you to know first off, and I'm going to continue in this, is this, to understand this, that your responsibility as a member, first and foremost, is to Jesus Christ, but to understand that it's the pillar and ground of truth. We need to be truthful. And I'm going to tell you what, you can start being truthful with yourself. and where you're at with the Lord. Because I firmly believe that I don't have to hound anybody about anything. And God works in different people in different time frames, and people grow differently and they need to hear. But I'm going to tell you one thing, you will hear it. And you will be faced with, what do I do now? You see, that's my job, right? What am I to do? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Well, where's the exhortation? Here it is. Here, you ready? I'm going to exhort you now. You're going to feel good. You get right with God, you'll be happy. When I did what Mom and Dad wanted, everything was cool. Unfortunately, that was very rare. I hate to make it that simple, but it's that simple. You know, be honest with yourself, and we'll close with this. When you get things right with God, whatever area it is in your life, this message could be for day one Christian to 50-year Christian, because we never obtain some hierarchy. Understand that you're never going to be there, wherever there is. You know where there is? Heaven. When you're there, you're in heaven. And believe you me, you're not thinking about this. You're answering what you've done here, because we'll all give an account of our lives to Jesus one day, but you're not thinking about this then. When you arrive, you're at the gates. Oh, but you got to die to get there. Or if the Lord comes. Until then, we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ left the apostles doctrine. We need to continue steadfastly in that doctrine. Why? Because we're a church. Why? Because the church is the pillar and ground of truth. Why? First, we're going to be truthful with ourselves and meet God right where He's at. Right today, where are you at with the Lord? What are you lacking? Where are you unfaithful? What's your weakness? Why don't you give it to Him and start out right? Why are you fighting? The message is going to continue. You know, we can close up, have an invitation, and be done and out of here in 5 minutes, but you know what? It's not done in your heart. Because if you don't come and get things right with God, He'll be eating at you all the way home. Boy, and everything will be piling on. You know why? The way of the sinner is hard. You ever get away from the Lord and you're ornery and, man, just nothing's right. Everything is hard. Hard to get up. Flat tire. Whatever it is. Everything seems to be so difficult. Because the way of the sinner is hard. That's because God is on you. Dealing with you. Why? Because you're part of His church. And we're responsible to be the pillar and ground of truth. Amen? Father, we love You and thank You for time to be in Your house. I thank You for these dear folks this morning. Lord, I pray I said all that needed to be said in just this part of the message. And Lord, I pray You just touch hearts and meet needs. Folks, Father, our folks have so many needs, and Lord, I know You want to meet all those needs, and I know, Lord, that You will. Lord, I also know that sometimes it's the needs that draw us closer to Thee, and maybe those needs need to help us to bend our knees today. And I pray, Lord, that You touch people and be with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? We have a verse of invitation. However God's speaking to you, you come.